Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to have you listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Verses 1 through 33, Ephesians chapter 5, the entire chapter. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the guidance, the instruction, the counsel, the direction your word gives us every single day. What a privilege and a blessing it is for us to be able to open your word and receive your counsel, your wisdom, your guidance every day as we take time to read and meditate and listen to your word. Father, help us with every passing day more and more as your people, as the church of Jesus Christ, to grow in our understanding of the need for us to be rooted in your word, rooted in studying and meditating on your word, rooted in hearing your word, and rooted in obeying and living your word, and rooted in boldly and courageously speaking, preaching, and teaching your word to others as well. Thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, help us to be mindful and help us to always remember that your word is the anchor in life that all of us need. It's the guidebook we all need. It's the direction. It's the counsel that all of us need. All men, all women, all countries, all those throughout the world desperately need your wisdom, your guidance, your direction that only comes from your word. We thank you and praise you for the wisdom and the blessings that come into our lives as we read and meditate and follow your word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. And once again, we would like to remind you and invite you to be a part of our ongoing campaign entitled Open the Floodgates. Again, it's a campaign we have working alongside Bible League International to share the gift of the gospel, providing copies of the Word of God, the precious word of God, to believers on the continent of Africa. Remember, lots and lots of people there They desperately need Bibles. Many throughout the continent of Africa don't have their very own copy of the Word of God. And, you know, of course, in our culture, it's pretty typical you find people have several Bibles in their home, but that's not necessarily true in many other parts of the world, including the continent of Africa. You and I have the chance to work together along with Bible League International to help make a difference in this regard. Your gift of $5 can help transform the life of a family as they receive their first and only copy of God's Word. You can call this number to help provide Bibles for people in need on that continent. Call this number 1-800-YES-WORD. Again, that's 1-800-YES-WORD. Or you can give online by visiting afr.net. $25 provides 5 Bibles, $50 provides 10 Bibles, and $100 can provide 20 Bibles for individuals and or families who have never had a copy of the Word of God before. Would you join us along with the Bible League International to help meet this very important need? God has been blessing, and we've gotten great response so far. Join us in our reaching out and providing Bibles to help our brothers and sisters throughout the continent of Africa. Again, we appreciate you listening to the Hour of Intercession here. And once again, I want to remind you, please connect with us on Facebook. Our Facebook is Hour of Intercession, or you can follow us on Twitter here on Urban Family. Also, you can join the Urban Family Talk family as we look at, on our website, find the latest poll questions and news articles that have been posted. You can get involved with some of the action alerts that have been brought to your attention and blogs from Urban Family. You can visit us at urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. Yesterday specifically, we were looking at the topic of words that bless and words that heal. And I want to remind and encourage you to keep in mind the Lord Jesus Christ himself, one of his many names is the Word of God. He's the Word made flesh. And that's for, it's very important to think about that in light of the fact that our lives are full of words that we speak or words that we hear. The most important word in life, the most important word in the world, the most important word in the universe is Jesus Christ. And the more you consume the Word of God, that is, consume the reading and meditating and thinking on God's Word, the more it blesses your life. Remember, God's Word is many, many things to us. It is also an anchor for us. Well, you may say, well, why do we need an anchor? Well, we live in a world that's full of storms that will toss us to and fro if we're not anchored in something solid, something that can be trusted, something that can be relied upon. God's Word is such an anchor. And remember, the Word of God, the written Word of God, God's Word is Jesus. And the more you're reading God's Word, it's like you're taking in more and more of the essence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit. And I like to encourage the goal of reading at least 3 chapters a day. Now, if you've never heard that before, keep in mind, some may think, well, that sounds like a lot. It's really not much at all. It's a basic spiritual diet. You can read your average 3 chapters in maybe 15 minutes or so. But it will bless you tremendously if you'll start doing that if you hadn't been doing it before. Because remember this, God's Word is many things, but all of those things will bless you. God's Word is light, it's peace, it's joy, it's power, it's grace, it's strength, it's encouragement, and many other things. And so the more you read and meditate on God's Word consistently, the more it pours grace and peace and joy and light and those other blessings into your mind, your heart, and your spirit. You need that. I need that. Our children need that. Our grandchildren need that. The young people you know need that. And so you and I need to live that lifestyle of reading and meditating on God's Word. In fact, that needs to be one of the high priorities of our lives every single day. If you're so busy that you don't get around to reading your Bible, then you need to quit something. You need to drop something else out, leave something else alone, because nothing is more important than the Word of God. And so it's important. Remember, the Word of God is Jesus. And again, the more you read and meditate on the Word of God, the more you become like him, the more you're strengthened in him, the more you draw closer to him. You need to be doing that every single day. So today is a good day to start that habit. Lord, thank you for every single person listening, Lord. Touch each listener. Lord, for those that aren't reading their Bibles daily, touch them. Flood their lives with your grace and mercy and strength and peace that would help them to start that habit today. For those that are already reading every day, Lord, help them to increase the flow of the Word of God in their lives. If they've been reading 3 chapters a day, help them to make it 4 or 5 or more so that they'll receive even more grace, more blessing, more encouragement. Help them to know, Lord, that your word can only bless more and strengthen and build up more and more as we hear it and follow it. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. And Lord, move mightily upon every parent to recognize the great need for us to make it a high priority to teach and train our children to read your word every single day. Lord, in a world that's so full of darkness, help us to be parents that are wise enough to make it the priority it needs to be to help our children plug into God's word and thus receive the light, the grace, the strength, the blessing that comes from putting the word of God into their minds and their hearts every single day. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for the blessing of being able to help our children and other children in such a way as that. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Today, specifically, we want you to focus on the topic of building a genuinely Christian home. Again, specifically, building a genuinely Christian home. We want to talk about things you can do to help make your home a place where the Spirit of God and the grace of God abides, but also things that you can do to help make maybe your future family, your future home, for example. Part of what we'll be looking at is we'll be looking at specifically helping husbands to be better husbands and wives to be better wives, but also persons who are not married, men to be better husbands to be, or wives to be, wives to be. In other words, there are sometimes young people or sometimes middle-aged or older people that are looking forward to getting married. Well, again, God's word is the best guidebook for being the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife. And also, it's a wonderful book to help those that are looking forward to marrying, helping you to prepare to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife. And parents, remember, we need to be doing our part to help prepare our sons to be good, godly husbands, to help do our part to prepare our wives to be good, godly wives as well. And also, parents, these are things we can pray for our children who are married about. We can pray that our sons will be even better husbands and pray for our daughters that they would be better wives as well. We can pray that they'll be better dads and better moms as well. So many principles, many truths found in the Word of God that will help us in this very important area and regard. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for how that your word guides us and helps us to be good and godly husbands and godly wives and godly dads, godly moms, and helps us to prepare our sons and daughters to be godly husbands and godly wives as well. Help us, Lord, more and more to hear and to receive the wisdom in this area. And help us, Lord, to be faithful by your grace and your spirit, to be faithful to apply those truths as well. Help us to know, Lord, that your word works when it's applied. And help us to know, Lord, that when we fool ourselves and we pretend like we're hearing and obeying it and not really doing it, help us to know that that doesn't work. Help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word that are growing in the commitment to be just that every single day. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We were looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Now, keep in mind, as you look at Ephesians 5, this is a great chapter for every husband and wife to read and study because it has insight and wisdom for every husband and wife. And also, as we mentioned too, for those persons that are looking forward to getting married one day, it has great insight and wisdom for you to look at as well. So Ephesians chapter 5. Now, the whole chapter is a great chapter. The first part starts out by saying, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us. Well, again, all of us are called to walk in love. And of course, marriage is obviously at its best when the husband and the wife are committed to walking in the love of Christ towards him and the love of Christ towards each other as well. So again, walking in love is a very, very important part of that. And keep in mind, again, every husband and wife listening, you individually and collectively together should read and meditate on Ephesians 5 because it has wisdom to help you be, again, a better husband, a better wife. And parents, let's use it to help teach and encourage our children, our sons and daughters, to be husbands and wives to be by reading and meditating on this passage as well. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession.
Our final Spiritual Heritage Tour of the year is scheduled for mid-September to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these tours since 2000, the year 2000. We've taken literally thousands of Christians to our nation's capital and to Mount Vernon to see our rich Christian heritage. In addition, in the last couple of years, we've added a tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So you can do one or the other or both back-to-back. We'd love to have you join us for this very special time in our nation's capital. For more information, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. All the information you need to know about both tours available at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Come with us, see Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We'd love to see you on one or both of these tours in September.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to allow feelings of uneasiness to slip in when it comes to your future. God is the ultimate planner, though. He's definitely got all things under control and has strategically planned our lives out. But you have a significant role to play in determining what the future holds. Your role is to get a revelation about who God is and relate to Him. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God tells Israel, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." All they needed to do was center their lives around what God had told them to do, and the future was bright. We have that same mandate today, and don't be so quick to give control to someone else, saying that they can hinder God's plan. Establish your relationship with the Lord and endeavor to do what God has already planned. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
Out of the corner of the eye, of my eye, as I'm drinking my water, I have my head tipped back, trying to down my water. Okay? I just want to take everybody there. I see this cockroach barreling towards my feet as I'm standing in my kitchen. So I spill water all over myself. I immediately start that two-step dance that you do because you don't want it to touch your feet. You know? And I'm like, well... And then I look down again, and I realize he's putting purple grapes into a bag, and he dropped one. And that's what was rolling towards my feet. And I said, "Don't do that, you know." And he said, and this is Will, y'all, my husband. He's so chill. He said, "I lost one." Really? That's all you got for me? What are you, Forrest Gump now?
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Lexi, the song Abide. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening today. Today we're looking at the topic of building a genuinely Christian home. And you know, often when you see the word genuine, of course, it's meant to obviously to describe the quality of being for real. And you know, for example, maybe you buy a new wallet and it says genuine leather. Well, why does it need to say genuine? Well, because there are a lot of imitations out there. There are a lot of fakes out there. But the fact is, typically people are willing to pay a little bit more to get the real thing, genuine leather. Well, of course, when you want a genuinely Christian home, it's got to be based on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's why as believers, we need to know that a critical part of being a disciple is you need to be a serious student of God's Word. You don't read it from time to time, and when you don't have anything else better to do when it's raining outside, you read it as a lifestyle. Every day, one of the priorities of your day is to open the Word of God and spend time reading and meditating on God's Word, and thus sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from Him, listening to Him, getting His guidance, His counsel, and His direction for your life every single day. So that's why, again, if you don't have the habit of reading His Word every day, you need to start today. If you want to be a serious disciple, you've got to be a student of the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Every day, if you want to walk with God, if you want to walk in step with God, if you want to walk in obedience to God, we must be people that seek to be and live full of God's precious Word. So as we look at the topic of building a genuinely Christian home, we need to be guided by God's precious Word. Now in Ephesians 5, again, as we looked at earlier and I read through the passage, look once again with me at verse 14. It says, "Therefore," he says, "awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." In other words, keep in mind, when we decide we want to get serious about following God in our individual lives and as husbands and wives, we've got to look to the Word of God. We need to wake up and be sober-minded about looking to the Word of God for guidance and direction. Because remember this, the world is always trying to redirect you, reprogram you to think like itself, and to send you off in wrong directions. We live in a world and a society and a culture that's trying to redefine what it means to be a man or a woman. It's trying to redefine marriage. It's trying to redefine the family as well. God's Word is an accurate guide to be directed and guided by. So looking to His Word is very important. Verse 15 goes on to say, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." The days and the culture we live in is very evil, again, trying to deceptively lead you into wrong directions. You can't look to the culture to find out what real marriage is about. You can't look to the culture to find out what it means to be a man or a woman. You've got to look to God's precious Word. Verse 18 goes on to say, verse 17, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The will of the Lord is the Word of God. Verse 18 goes on to say, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So we must look to the Word of God to get our guidance and direction to know what it means to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife, the right kind of dad, the right kind of mom, and what it means to guide and direct our homes according to God's precious Word. Let me share with you some characteristics that are drawn out here. And for briefly, I want to kind of concentrate on, again, guidance and direction for us as husbands and men and also parents. These are things we need to help our boys in coming to understand about what it means to be a godly man that's seeking to have a godly home. Number one, he needs to be saved. He needs to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God is not trying to help good people be better. He's trying to help dead people become alive through the salvation that only He can provide. So again, the most important decision in our life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Parents, let me say this. It's a wise thing for us as parents, when our children are young, to often and fairly regularly, take time to invite our children to ask Jesus into their heart as their Savior, or to invite them to commit or recommit their hearts to the Lord. Let me tell you why. Obviously, lots of our children come to know Christ at church, maybe on Sunday morning or during Sunday school, during worship service. But keep in mind, sometimes, in some instances, that may not happen. But if on a regular basis you talk about Jesus in your home and you talk about the salvation that only He can provide, and on a regular basis invite your children to make that step, it may very well be, and for many children this is exactly how it happened, they'll choose to make that important step at home praying with their family. So on a regular basis, parents, it doesn't hurt to invite your children to pray, to commit, or recommit their hearts to the Lord. Now, of course, if they've done it once, you can recommit your heart to the Lord over and over again, and that's actually a wise thing to do. Because the fact is, if you recommit your heart to the Lord every single day, that doesn't hurt anything, and it's actually a wise thing to do. But at home, take time to bring the children together and explain to them. And let's take a moment. I'm going to invite you to just to pray this salvation prayer. And if there's someone who's listening that you've never gotten saved, today is a good day to get saved. But I also want you to listen and learn a simple kind of prayer you can lead your children in to invite them to make this all-important step of asking Christ to come into their heart. Because remember, the most important decision of their life is the decision to receive Christ. You can simply pray this prayer with me, or parents, pray this with your children. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. Right now, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart, become my Lord and Savior, make me the person you want me to be. I believe you lived for me. I believe you died on the cross so I could be saved. And I believe you rose up from the dead 3 days later for my salvation. Thank you, Lord. You said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on you. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And let me remind you, if you prayed that prayer with me and received Christ today, again, please email us and let us know or contact us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. But also, if you'd like to get a copy of a basic prayer like that, you can pray with your children as a salvation or a rededication prayer, again, I'd be glad to send that to you as well at that same email, jparker@afa.net. But parents, an important step is to be sure that your sons and your daughters have accepted Jesus Christ. So inviting them to pray that prayer on a regular basis at home is a wise thing to do. So number one, it's important to do our part to see to it that our sons, and obviously we're speaking of our sons and our daughters as well, to be sure to do all we can to help them to come to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. A second important step is we need to teach and train our boys to be spiritual leaders in the home, teaching them to be spiritual leaders. Now, again, many of these would apply to our sons and our daughters as well, but especially this portion, we're really talking more so things we need to teach our boys. What does it mean to be a spiritual leader? Well, obviously he or she has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but also the three letters of the word pro remind us of three basic areas of discipleship that we need to teach and train our children in. P refers to their prayer life, teach them to pray every day. R refers to read, that is, read and meditate on the Word of God every day. O refers to obedience, live what you learn. Don't just read the Bible to say you've read it. Read it in order to obey and apply what you've learned. So again, P-R-O, pro, reminds us of those three basic areas of discipleship. Pray daily, read the Word of God daily, obey daily as well. Teach your children these important things. Don't let them grow up without them having a great understanding of the need for them to be persons given to prayer, be persons, believers that are given to prayer, believers that are students of the Word of God. We don't read it from time to time, but it's a part of our lifestyle and our way of living to be in your Word every day, in the Word of God, and obey what you learn. So teaching them to be spiritual leaders. And keep in mind, for example, parents, when your children are young and maybe they begin to build relationships with the opposite sex at the right time, well, in the midst of their building that relationship, taking time to pray and read the Word of God should be a part of their life as well. And as they're building a relationship with that boyfriend or girlfriend, reading the Word and praying together should be an important part of that. Now, for example, if a young man or young woman says, well, I don't want to pray when I go out. I don't want to read the Bible. If they say, that'll ruin my date. Well, again, then something's wrong with that child's thinking. You need to teach them. Reading God's Word should be an important part of their courtship, their dating, praying together as well. And so now if the boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't like that, that they're dating, well, again, that's maybe they decide that they don't want to be involved with this person anymore if they want to pray and read the Bible. Well, that's a good way to weed out the wrong ones. Because, again, if Jesus and your child knowing Jesus scares that boyfriend or girlfriend off, good riddance. They don't need them. They need a spouse to be that will love the Lord and follow the Lord. So if reading the Bible and praying runs them off, praise the Lord. That's the wrong kind of spouse to be, because the best marriage you can have is one that Jesus is at the center of that marriage. So in fact, that can help scare off the wrong ones, but it can attract the right ones, because some young men, some young women out there are wise enough to recognize that this person can potentially be a good husband or good wife because they love Jesus, because they want to go after the Lord. So teaching your boys to be spiritual leaders is an important part of training them to become just disciples. And so prayer and reading the Word of God should be an important part of their life, even in the era of their courtship, because, again, it helps run off the wrong kind and helps attract the right kind as well. So a second important characteristic is not only, number one, should they be saved, number two, we need to be teaching our boys to be spiritual leaders as well. Thirdly, then, we need to teach our boys to respect women, to respect girls, okay? Teach your boys, again, for example, never use the B word with reference to women. That's a wrong term. It's never an appropriate term. But yet, tragically, we hear that word used all over the place with reference to women. Well, the fact is, it's not one that godly and God-honoring men should ever use under any circumstances. And also, we're to teach our boys to respect women and to look out for them. Teach your boys, don't hit girls. Don't beat up on girls. Now, the fact is, sadly, too many women and girls have grown up in a situation where, for example, they've seen their parents where the dad will hit the mom or seen granddad hit grandmom. Well, that's wrong. The fact is, according to the Word of God, as men, we're to be protectors. Real men will look out for and protect women. That's our place in life. We're to be protectors, not aggressors. So the fact is, when a man will try to beat up on a woman, he's a wimp. He's a weakling. Real men protect women and look out for them. They don't beat up on them. Yet, tragically, we see very often you have boyfriends that will beat up on girlfriends, and sometimes husbands that will beat up on wives. That's wrong. That's very, very wrong. And, of course, you look at the principle found in Ephesians 5 where we read it, said, a man is to love his wife as his own body. Well, when you bite your tongue, you don't slap yourself, you don't kick yourself, you don't punch yourself. No, you try to comfort yourself. Well, again, a real man will not beat up on girls. He'll protect them. He'll look out for them, but he won't beat up on them. So the fact is, let's teach our boys to respect women and to look out for them and protect them, not to beat up on them. It's tragic how often you find young men that will fight or beat up on a girl just like he's another fella. Well, of course, the fact is, again, that's wrong any way you look at it. Now, we need to teach our girls, don't hit boys either. But the fact is, a man's place is one of protection and one of looking out for the welfare of the women and the girls in and around his life. That's an important point to be mindful of. So we need to teach our boys, we're protectors. Men by nature are protectors in that regard. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity for us to teach and train our boys to be godly men and godly husbands to be, and guide us to be wise enough to prepare our boys to be the right kind of man that honors you in the way they carry themselves, the way they follow you, and the way they obey your word as well. More and more, teach us to be faithful, to teach and train our boys to seek you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank you for that opportunity. We praise you for it, and thank you for the privilege of being able to be involved in that. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Today we're looking at the topic of building a genuinely Christian home. We'll be right back after this break.
You know what they say, a laugh a day will keep the white straitjacket away. So if you're prone to depression or uncontrollable laughter, please turn your dial, because this foolishness is hilarious. Catch Headlines with Dainty C for laughs, tears, and shaking my head syndrome. From 6 to 9 Central Standard Time on Urban Family Talk. Truth, wisdom, empowerment.
Hi, I'm Cedric. When I was a teenager, marijuana led me to cocaine, and for the next two decades, I was a crack addict. And when I came to Teen Challenge, I was hopeless, but I'm free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Satan isn't just after us. He's after our kids. It's been that way since clear back in Genesis 3:16. Dr. Tony Evans talks about the enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Why is the family so important to Satan? I'll tell you why. Because the battle would be waged by the seed, by the offspring. And so Satan wants to destroy your family, not only because he wants you, but because he wants the next generation. And if he can get the next generation before you have a chance to mold them, shape them, steer them, direct them, guide them, help them, if he can get them because of a messed up home, he not only now has your home, he has their home. And so it becomes a generational problem. Why? Because the battle is being waged by the seeds. And the tragedy is that Christians today are still fighting flesh and blood, rather than principalities and powers and world forces that are devastating. And so that's why we've got to fight for the family, because whoever controls the family controls the future. And that's why we've got to fight against men walking off from their families because they're getting too tired or it is too hard. That's why we've got to fight against women who are so in love with the workplace that they neglect the seed that is the next generation.
Learn more about how to protect yourself and your family in Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll show you how to live in the spiritual victory Christ died to give you, even if you're dealing with chemical, sexual, emotional, or relational strongholds. Get a copy for yourself and order some extras for your church. Details on Victory in Spiritual Warfare are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Victory, 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 victory your hands in the air.
The music of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of building a genuinely Christian home. And it's important for us as believers to know that there are certain things we need to do very deliberately. We have to decide that by the grace of God, we're to make these priorities in our home. Because remember, the home is the foundational place whereby our children come to know Christ and grow up and become strong disciples of the Lord. One of the great priorities of every Christian parent is to help your children come to know Christ and to grow strong in the Lord. Not just a light version of Christianity. We're to teach them to become godly, strong, godly men and strong, godly women. That should be the goal for every one of our children. Not just from time to time, not this child that may seem to have a leaning towards the things of God more than others. Each of our children to become strong in the Lord and to live their life to glorify and honor the Lord. We should be wise enough to do like Hannah did in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Lend each of your children to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer and let God know that you're lending each one of them to him. Now, if you didn't do it when they were young, well, again, you can do it now, whatever age your child might be. Now, you might think, well, my child's grown and it's too late. No, it's not. Remember, parents, you always have a certain power in the Lord in the lives of your children, because he entrusted them to you. So now it's wise to do it. In fact, it's wise to do it before they get here. Dedicate them to the Lord before they get here. Dedicate them in the womb. Pray over them in the womb. Pray over them when they're young. But if you didn't, you can still start wherever they might be, because remember, you have a certain power and grace in the lives of your children. So we're wise to lend them to the Lord over and over again. Remind God, God, my son, my daughter, they're your property, and I entrust them afresh into your hands. Be wise enough to do just that. So far, again, we're looking especially at things that we need to do to help our sons to become godly men and godly husbands one day. And number one, we said, help them to do all we can to help them to come to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, to be saved. Number two, teach them to be spiritual leaders. That is, teach them to be persons. Again, the word pro reminds us of those three characteristics. Teach them to be young men of prayer, young men who read the word, and young men who obey the word as well. And then thirdly, we're to teach them to respect girls, to respect women. Teach boys never use the B word with reference to women, but also teach them don't hit girls, don't beat up on girls, respect them, be a protector. A man's place is one of protection, not beating up and abusing women in any regard. Also, and a part of respecting women is teaching our boys that they're not to be involved with a girl sexually until after they've come to marry that individual. Now, keep in mind, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not commit adultery. Sex outside of marriage is sin 100% of the time. Sex is to be between a married husband and wife and no one else. Sex is for married individuals. And so, again, outside of that, it's not for boyfriends and girlfriends. It's not for casual friends. It's not to be between two men or two women. It's to be between a husband and wife. That's the word of God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Again, sex is to be between a married husband and wife, nowhere else. So we need to teach our children sex is for married people, and that's the truth behind that. So that's a part of teaching our boys to respect women, teaching them under no circumstances are they to be involved sexually with a woman until he has married her and put a ring on her finger first. That's a part of teaching our boys to respect women and womanhood as well. Fourthly, then, we need to teach our, we said respecting women, and also, fourthly, being good protectors as well. Again, a man's place is to be one of protecting women and protecting their families as well. A man's place is to protect his wife and children and to protect women as a whole, okay? And then five, teaching our boys to be good providers, teaching our boys that they're to take care of their families as well as to work and to work hard. It's important that we know then that, again, according to the wisdom behind Proverbs, that it's a blessing to be a hard worker, but it's tragic when an individual is lazy, a man or woman. And it's hard to be married to a lazy man or a lazy woman, but there's something worse about a lazy man. And some men, they just don't want to work. Well, the Bible has a remedy for men that don't want to work. The Bible lets us know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if a person will not work, neither shall he eat. So again, it's important to know we need to teach our boys to work and to work hard. One of the saddest things in the world is a lazy man, a man that won't work, refuses to work, sometimes will run from work, acts like he's allergic at the thought of working. Well, again, ladies, you don't want to marry a fella like that. Again, if you have a boyfriend that he won't work and is always borrowing your car, borrowing your stuff and never returning it, well, again, he doesn't sound like marrying material, at least not yet, till he learns how to work and work hard. Real men will work and work hard. Part of being a godly man is one who's not afraid to work. That's a part of being a man, providing for your home and your own household. In the book 1 Timothy, it lets us know that if a man will not provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. So a real man will take care of his family. And also it's important for us to know, too, a man is supposed to provide for all of his children. Now, the reality is God's plan is that a man will marry. Men and women will marry and have children within the bonds of marriage. But sometimes if some men have made the mistake of going outside of the marriage and having children outside of the marriage or before he got married, well, remember, a godly man, he will take care of all of his children, whether they're within or outside of his marriage bonds. And say, for example, if a young man maybe had a child or two before he got married, well, it's the man's responsibility to take care of all of his children. A real man will take care of all of his children. Now, some fellas may say, well, I have too many children. Well, you need to ask God to help you to do your part to take care of all of them because it's your responsibility. It's your God-ordained responsibility to take care of all of your children. It's tragic how often, too often, you have men that actually are running in society running from the responsibility of paying child support. Now, that's not a godly man. Again, that's a wimp. He won't take care of his own flesh and blood. Real men will take care of all of his children, and so both within and outside of the marriage bonds, because all of them are his responsibility. And if you don't see quite how to do that, sometimes you need to go in prayer and say, Lord, show me what I need to do to help take care of all of them. And so a real man will be a protector and a provider, provide for all of his children. And remember, if the man refuses to work, again, the Bible has a remedy. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so, ladies, if you happen to be married to a man that refuses to work, well, you can come home and feed yourself and feed the children. You don't have to feed him, and you have biblical grounds on which to do it, because maybe if he gets hungry, he'll get up and do something. But real men are supposed to provide and work hard to take care of their family and their children. I'm reminded of a story about a young man who got tired of working, and he decided that he was going to rob a bank. And so what he did was he got a gun and headed to the bank and came up with a speech. His speech he was practicing under his breath as he walked toward the bank. He was going to jump in the bank and say, all right, you fools, this is a stick-up. Jump in the bank, freeze all the people in there with fear, rob the bank, and run off. That was his plan. And just he was walking down the street under his breath saying, all right, you fools, this is a stick-up. Aren't you fools is a stick up. When he got to the bank, jumped in the door, yelled out loud, aren't you stick ups? This is a fool. Well, he messed up his speech. Well, he tried it again. Aren't you upsticks? A fool this is. He still couldn't get it right. The security guard was laughing at the would-be robber so hard he couldn't get his gun out. The man was so ashamed because the whole crowd of people in there were just laughing at him. So ashamed he ran out of the bank and got caught about two blocks away by the police. But the fact is, the statement he made was actually a correct one. He jumped in the bank and said, all right, you stick-ups, this is a fool. If he thought he was going to make a living by stealing, robbing the bank, or robbing banks, or stealing from people, he was a fool. Because, again, it's important to know, according to the Word of God, if you try to make money by illegal means, it's a foolish thing to do anyway. And so keep in mind, robbing people, money gotten by ill means, it really has a curse on it anyway. So working and working hard is that which God has laid before us as men to do. We're to be hard workers who will work hard to take care of ourselves, take care of our wives and our children as well. Real men will work and work hard. So we must teach our boys to be good providers and finally to be good role models for your whole family. Now, our time is just about gone. We've mostly been leaning on things we need to teach our boys, but remember, we can deal more with things we need to teach our girls as well. And many of these we need to teach our sons and our daughters as well. But again, we need to teach both of them to work and to work hard. And It's, again, tough to be married to a lazy man or a lazy woman, but there's something worse about a lazy man, because men, it's our responsibility to be providers. We're to help take care of our wives and our children, so we need to teach our boys to work and to work hard, boys and girls, but definitely teaching our boys to work and to work hard. But also, being a good role model before them is very important as well. Live in such a way, teach your boys to live in such a way that their wives and children can look to them to see what a Christian looks like. They can follow in his footsteps. And remember, we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but basically we need to live in such a way, men, that our wives and our children can look to us to find out what a godly individual looks like. Living to be a good role model before them is very, very important. So just in concluding and kind of wrapping up, again, things we need to be sure and teach our boys, and again, our boys and our girls as well, but especially we're leaning mostly on boys here. Number one, teach him that he needs to be saved. Number two, he needs to be a spiritual leader. Number three, he needs to respect women and girls. Four, be a protector. And number five, be a good provider and a role model as well. It should be the goal of every listener to do all you can to help make your home a godly place, a place where the Word of God is read and lived out, a place where prayer is a vital part of your whole family and your lifestyle, a place where you seek to honor God in all that you do and all that you say. Father, thank you, Lord, for every believer listening. Thank you for the opportunity for us to do all we can to help our boys and our girls to grow up to become godly men and godly women, godly husbands and godly wives, godly individuals that seek to honor you in their homes and their lives and their lifestyle. Help us know, Lord, that every day is a day for us to commit and recommit our hearts and our lives and our families to you. Lord, anoint every listener afresh with the spirit of prayer, the spirit that would encourage them to make prayer a vital part of their family's life and their lifestyle. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of wisdom that would encourage us to read your word more, that will help us to and encourage us to read it as husbands and wives individually and collectively. And anoint us afresh with the wisdom to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read your word every single day and to live according to that wisdom too. Help us to know, Lord, that we're to pray daily that you would fill our homes, fill the atmosphere of our homes with your Holy Spirit, your grace, and your mercy. And help us to seek to honor you in the way we live our lives day by day. Fill our homes and bless them to be places of love, places of mercy, places of grace, places where your spirit just abides and blesses every day. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening. We've been looking at Ephesians chapter 5. And remember, every husband and wife to be, read and meditate on Ephesians 5. It'll bless your marriage greatly. Thanks again for listening today. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.